Hello and welcome to the Chip Collective Podcast. Today we will attempt to talk about things that happened during the 2019 Consumer Electronics Show. Your hosts for today will be Jack Mangano, Moshe DeLacy, Matthew Conitzer, and Cynical Unicorn.
Yeah, it's the present because it's Vega, and it's the future because it's 7 nanometer.
Vega's really come and gone, in my opinion.
I just like what Huang said, where he's just like, Intel graphics is AMD, so who is AMD graphics?
Yeah, that's actually funny.
Why? I don't understand why. Funny. I don't understand why he said anything about it. Because when was the last time he said anything about AMD graphics?
Because CEOs who started the company are all little children.
Like, he really went off.
Like, why did Musk call the cave diver, like, a pedophile?
He's a pedophile because he thinks my submarine is stupid.
Well, Elon Musk is insane. I'm just saying, this, I don't think Jensen's ever really said anything like this, at least recently.
Jensen seems regular. He's a filthy fucking capitalist. He's going to get the guillotine, but, you know, beyond that.
I know he's absolutely ruthless, but I mean, like, he really went off.
He's got a cool leather jacket.
I think he went off because he's actually sick of fighting with himself over his own products. He wants competition, and he's pissed off that it's not happening.
Well, I mean, Navi might do something.
Might. It's not here yet.
To be fair, Vega is competing with the 2080, and, you know, it's Vega just on 7 nanometers. That's all right, I guess. Now, of course, when Turing gets on 7 nanometers.
I'm pretty sure he talks to Lisa Su over the phone and is like, tell me your analytics, tell me your install base. And, you know, like, they compare notes and shit because, you know, they're like,
you are tearing me apart, Lisa.
Imagine if they made a 600 millimeter squared 7 nanometer Vega 2.
No, that's just disgusting.
Excuse you? What size was that?
600.
600 millimeter squared. Can you even fit that on a...
Yeah, what is the reticle size?
You can fit that.
So the reticle, it's standard is 6 inch with 5x reduction. So 1.2 inches by 1.2 inches. Is that right?
Oh, wait.
All right, let's do math because...
I thought it would have been the same as 16 nanometers.
25.4 times 25.4, 930 square millimeters.
4x reduction. Oh. It'll be the same. It'll be the same.
Okay.
Until high NA UV. So anyways, back on topic. What do you think the LP88 is? You think that's 8.8 amp power supply?
What's LP88?
Yeah, where's that mentioned?
On the Lakefield iodide.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know that Intel filed some patents where they have like voltage regulators both on and off the die. So if you're in like a really, if you want a really efficient operation, you just do the power conversion on die, I guess.
Okay, half meg of MLC. Does that mean that can't be flash? Can it? That'd be silly.
Yes, that would be quite silly.
Like 500K of flash on die, that's...
Yeah, there's three, there's two. Yeah, actually, I didn't think about that.
So each CPU has its own.
Yeah.
And then there's the shared L2. Like, I wonder if it's kind of set up, like how they have it set up is it's like the big CPU has its own half meg L2, and then like the small CPUs share the 1.5 L2 over on the left. And then they all share an L3, which is 4 meg.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Hard to tell. As for the colors, I imagine that's like different processes that they're using. Like all the orange stuff is going to be state-of-the-art 10 nanometer or whatever. Blue stuff is going to be larger because it doesn't really benefit as heavily from that.
It's all 10 nanometer.
What's that?
It's all 10 nanometer.
The whole thing?
Yeah,
the whole active die is 10 nanometer.
I mean, wait, is this one monolithic? No, this isn't a...
It's chiplets.
Yeah, so like the top chip is the one with, or sorry, the middle chip is the one with the big CPU, small CPU, memory, blah, 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 blah. And they need the bottom IO die is the power delivery one.
God, that is such a cute little motherboard, though. Yeah, it's like, it's just so tiny. I want to give it a hug.
I might break it.
Search its ears.
So it has M.2. The M.2 is almost as big as the entire thing.
So Project Athena is their follow-up to Ultrabook, it seems like.
Yeah, Ultrabooks, those went over real well.
Well, I mean, they kind of did. They're the reason why everything's so thin and light.
I mean, yeah. Eventually.
Ultrabooks are good.
But I think Ultrabook was supposed to be a bit less crap.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you have to make compromises.
I mean, that led to the Surface, and the Surface is pretty good.
Other than the software and Windows, because I don't get it.
Now, Windows is very...
No, it's like people have reported a lot of driver issues with the Surface, which is kind of ironic because Microsoft, you know, makes a damn thing.
I've had no driver issues so far, but...
I mean, I'm just going by what I've heard. I have no firsthand experience with the Surface.
What's the Surface laptop that only allows you to download things from the Microsoft Store?
RT. There was an RT one forever ago, but they kind of gave up on that because it was shit.
Yeah, it turns out nobody
used ARM. The Windows Store is awful.
Yeah.
How could you live like that?
Hey, but how else can you play Forza?
You could pirate it, I guess.
Wow. That's illegal. Look, I'm not smart. We've established this.
No, you're smarter than me.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they didn't really say that much.
Okay, so they even say that much? I thought I kind of missed something.
They showed more than they said about actual details that we would care about.
Honestly, Intel doesn't really show a whole lot, do they?
I mean, they showed more than AMD.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
AMD showed nothing, man.
They showed a naked CPU.
Fair enough. I guess in terms of, like, pure technical whatever, they showed quite a bit, but I want to know like how that like works.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the consumer electronics show, but they showed that it's going to be coming out holiday 2019. They actually have chips.
Price Lake?
Yeah.
Ice Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, okay. That's great.
They had everything's laptop running Ice Lake doing like some, what was it? It was like animating some animal or something moving based off its skeleton.
Is that just for laptop CPUs, or is it going to be like the desktop ones as well?
I mean, presumably it's going to be like low end laptop initially, just because yields are going to suck. But as they ramp up, it's going to be bigger.
Yeah.
Because like, remember, if we go back to 2014, I guess when Broadwell came out. It was Core M at first, that was dual core GT1 graphics, and eventually it ramped up like dual core GT2, quad core GT2, and then quad core GT3 eventually.
Yeah.
That was all over the course of a few months, so 10 nanometer might take a bit longer.
That's right.
There's 10 nanometer Ice Lake. I mean, it's in his hand. I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see any.
I mean, we also have demos running on Sansia. So. Of that Dell 2-in-1 laptop they showed off during the presentation.
Yeah.
What did that 2-in-1 have in it? Was it a quad core or just dual core?
We have the leaked benchmarks. I can pull them up real quick.
Oh, then we should be able to tell. Well, what's on that that PCB? There's two dots.
That's probably EDRAM and then Ice Lake CPU. That's probably EDRAM because this is mobile.
No, it's probably not EDRAM. It's probably the Southbridge.
You think?
Yeah, because they integrate that onto the package. All of the U-Series CPUs do.
Really?
Yeah, let's see. Haswell low power CPU? I don't know.
Google 4000U.
Look at Y and U and integrated graphics.
Yeah, here we go. Like, this is... this is just basic Haswell low power dual core.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. That's what a dual core was back in the day.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. That says, and I understand it has graphics in it, but that's probably as big as the Zen original die.
I'm bigger. Skeptical.
Bigger? I don't know. It looks about the same size.
Well, it's longer.
I mean, we also have no scale to go by there.
They have the you have the triangle in the bottom left.
I don't think those are standard sizes.
I'm pretty sure those are standard. If the triangles aren't standard, what are? I don't want to live in the world where we don't have standard size triangles.
All right. So the Dell 2-in-1, it's 1.6 gigahertz, 4-core, 8-thread.
What's the boost?
Boost
is going to be 4 point something, I'd assume. If it's a good...
This is like an engineering sample, like early benchmark. Oh, we have no way of knowing. So it's like... Here, I can just snip the line from...
So 1 point
freaking bench.
1.6 base is, I think that's not bad for a U series.
No, it's probably going to come way up from that. It's just
okay. I see that.
Is that like going to be
CPU 0000?
I was going to say. I wonder what the Y CPUs are going to look like.
Heck, they, you know, a lot of U series CPUs right now kind of like idle around that or do that on like site loads. So.
You can see the U is right above it. I just snipped that too. I don't know if like how they're gonna differentiate the market.
Hmm.
So is Ice Lake and Sunny Cove the same thing?
Sunny Cove is the architecture. Ice Lake is like the
code name.
Yeah. Sunny Cove is just like the freaking layout and stuff.
Okay.
Weren't you the one who was talking about like the names for the actual cores and how no one cares about them?
Me?
Yeah. No, Unicorn.
Yeah, no, it's like just the different names for the architecture versus the platform versus the whatever. Like people don't usually say Westmere EP, they usually call it Gulf Town. But that kind of stopped eventually. People are like, yeah, it's just Sandy EP.
Well, let's get really confusing and say I'm running Coffee Lake S running on KB Point Z370.
Jesus.
Oh, actually, here we go, Jack. This one's even better. It's... Excuse me a second. Let me go to the full resolution image.
Go for it.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
Give me that
same,
4K.
Same U CPU as above. It's just CPU and PCH integrated into single BGA package. So that was new with Haswell. So they've been doing single chip solution for a while. It's almost like a SoC, but not quite.
Is Snow Ridge going to be also a multi-chip?
Looks like it.
Not quite multi-chip. I guess it is multi-chip, yeah. That's true.
I can't
it's
wait
kinda
for
it. It's kind of weird, though, because the Snow Ridge looks a lot like... It looks a lot like the die at the end of the Lakefield montage.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for r/AMD to say hilarious and original memes like, ha ha ha, Ice Lake, then why is it running so hot? That's not Ice Lake at all. And then nobody seems to understand that Intel 10 nanometer is significantly denser than TSMC or Samsung 7 nanometer.
To be fair, it is coming a little later too, so if it came around the same time, I'd be a lot more impressed.
Oh.
So it kind of evens out. AMD gets there first, Intel has a slightly better process.
Like, the 7 nanometer that AMD is using is not a whole lot denser than Intel 14 nanometer.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I guess it's significantly denser, but it's not double density.
Yeah, of course.
Nowhere close to that.
The nanometer names is just marketing nowadays.
Pretty much.
Like, even for Intel, I don't think that's a true 14.
Well,
out of every single person that makes a 14, that is obviously the closest, but I don't think it's true 14. Someone made, like, a chart of, like, all
it's
the...
because it doesn't matter anymore. Once they went to like FinFETs, all the dimensions like changed.
Yeah.
Where it's no longer like whenever they went to the first FinFET, which was I guess like
22, I think.
Yeah, it was 22. Because TSMC made FinFETs in 22, and AMD and NVIDIA were like, we don't want that. We'll say in 28.
It was a 28 or 20 nanometer FinFET, I think.
No, maybe it was 20. I think it was 20 FinFET.
They skipped 20 nanometer in either case. AMD and NVIDIA did. For Intel, I believe their 22 was the first FinFET.
Yes.
I need to check.
I think so.
Yeah. So they had to like define it as like 22 like equivalent pretty much. And then from then everyone was just that we're just going to make it up as we go along.
PCI Express lanes. Do we need more?
I thought it was interesting that Lakefield isn't PCIe 4.
Is it still 3?
There's really no
according to their little die.
Does it really need to be 4 though?
I don't know of any reason to do it, and because it's targeting low power stuff, that also means that like doubling the clock rate on the PCI Express bus is going to significantly increase power consumption for that link. So I don't really see a use for it. It's not going to be running discrete graphics. It's just
well, hey, you don't know that.
NVMe storage, really. Okay, you're right. We'll be running like an MX150 or a Radeon 540.
Or an Intel not announced yet GPU.
Yes, thank you, Jack.
Or if it has a Thunderbolt 3 controller, you can hook up your 2080 Ti.
Yeah, and I don't think Thunderbolt with PCIe 4 is going to exist quite so soon.
Oh, yeah. I wish it would, though. I wish you could upgrade it on your own laptop. Because I'd love to hook up something more powerful.
I still don't see the need for PCIe 4 at all. I mean, we storage maybe, but anything else that I care about? No, not at all.
Yeah. Storage is going to see an uplift, although even then, sequential speeds in consumer applications mean that, no, that's just silly. You don't need that. It's going to be good for like 100 plus gigabit Ethernet and data centers. It's going to be good for storage and data centers. But honestly, at this point, I'm not sure how useful it's going to be for GPU compute, mainly because like the Radeon Instinct that AMD announced, the MI60 on the 7 nanometer Vega, that's got Infinity Fabric links for GPU to GPU communication. NVIDIA has had NVLink for a while. Hell, if you look at Power9, the first platform with PCI Express 4, that also supports NVLink natively, so the CPU can directly hook up to a GPU over that. So, yeah. Oh, no.
What was that big document you were working on about? Was it about PCI Express lanes?
Yeah, it was chipset stuff. I'm still poking at that.
Cool.
I'm going to get that finished up eventually. AMD's data sheets are a lot harder to find. But from the looks of it. So, actually, speaking of AMD and data sheets, what I have found suggests that Ryzen is using the same PCI Express configuration as APUs did previously, like as far back as FM1, from what I understand.
Was Nirvana the FPGA thing?
Was there a deep learning compute stick?
Oh, I thought it smelled like Teen Spirit.
Beck, I'm going to
God. Killing me.
I'm ashamed.
No, it's not FPGA. So FPGA is Altera.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Yep.
Which I think they're also trying to get some money from. They're doing like Xeon FPGA combined chips.
Anyway, but like just back to PCI Express 4. So.
But what about Nirvana?
What? Did you have other things to say? I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You know what?
No,
you don't care about the $300 billion market that Intel is going to tap into.
Look, I was just trying to. Whatever.
No, I'm just messing. Just talk about PCIe 4. It's fine.
This is just terrible. It's gone wrong.
Yeah, I don't think that a Ryzen 3000 series will necessarily have all of its lanes be Gen 4. It might, but that's not a guarantee because if you look at if you look at past platforms, like when AMD introduced PCI Express 3 with Kaviri, it was only for the graphics card link. So only 16 out of the 24 lanes were at Gen 3 speeds. The other two, which were both X4 links. The other 8 lanes, which were composed of 2 X4 links, whatever. One to the chipset and one to just general purpose devices. Those were only Gen 2 speeds. So it hasn't been until Ryzen that they upgraded everything to Gen 3.
And I think on FM2, if you crossfire 2 GPUs, it would be 2x times 8.
Yeah, unless you had Kaviri, if you, well, that would need FM2 plus though, whatever.
And I'll admit when I was first building PCs, I put an Athlon 880K with two 380s.
Nice.
And it was garbage. And I knew it was garbage. I knew I'd make a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Cause I was getting like terrible frames.
If you look at Intel as well, it wasn't until the 7 series chipset. So that would have been a Sandy Bridge E or just Ivy Bridge for LGA 1155. They upgraded the CPU again for the graphics. They upgraded that to Gen 3, but the DMI link was still at Gen 2 speeds. DMI link being, you know, effectively PCI Express. So maybe we'll see PCI Express 4 across the board. I'm not counting on it.
I mean, people were saying that the first slot would be PCIe 4, just to jump in.
Well, right, that was on the legacy motherboards. But, like, assuming we get new motherboards that support PCIe 4 across the, like, as much as possible, I'm not sure that the chipset is going to be upgraded, which really sucks because that's kind of, that could use the help. Yeah, are they going to do a new chipset? Actually, if they do a new chipset, then... I think they will.
They will, but all the old ones will be compatible. That's just
right. Well, I think they'll do like a, because they were going to do a Z490. I think they're going to do a Z590.
Like, it's actually annoying. I think there is a very good reason that Intel went from like B85 to B150 to B250 to B360. Wait, shit.
Yeah.
B360. There we go. Wrong emphasis. Because AMD released their own B350 first because, haha, that's
And now Intel is skipping the 300 and 400 series chipset. They're going straight to 500 to beat AMD.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. It's just so obnoxious.
So here's a fun question, though, for you. So we saw that the new Zen, right, is two chiplets, and we just assume one of them is IO, one of them is like this exact same chiplet as Rome, right?
Yeah.
But where is the integrated GPU?
It's going to be that other spot for a chiplet can use either.
No. What do you mean? Showed us the die. There was no other chiplet on there. Where was the iGPU? Was it on the IO?
Or what do you mean? I don't understand what you mean.
For the new GPUs?
No, I'm just saying, like, they showed us the new Zen die. Where is the integrated graphics? Is it chiplet?
No, it's not. They'll be able to make a different die, and they'll put it in that space below the 8-core CPU.
But I'm saying they showed us the die from their demos that was running graphics. Does it just not have an iGPU?
Which one are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Oh, do you mean the 12 nanometers in? Because those are all monolithic. Or 12 nanometer APUs, because those are all monolithic.
The APUs they were talking about it's the same series, but it's Zen Plus and 12 nanometers.
It's Raven Ridge, and they did it on 12 LP instead of 14 LPP.
Yes.
Let me pull up Matisse, right? Like, where is the integrated graphics in Matisse? Is it in the 7-nanometer chiplet, or is it on the IO?
It's neither. They're going to add it.
You're just speculating, though.
Zen doesn't have integrated graphics.
Ryzen 3. Oh, jeez. Okay.
Look, here is the Zen
die. Matisse does not have integrated graphics. We have seen Matisse with the big chip. That's the IO hub, and we've seen it with the little chip. That's the CPU cores. That's the little chiplet there.
So Matisse won't have integrated graphics.
Well, why not? There is a non-zero chance
that this design could support integrated graphics if they use two chiplets, one of which is a GPU and the other is a CPU, both of which are linked up to the same IO hub over Infinity Fabric.
Yeah.
Basically, an APU, but split up among multiple dies. The Picasso APUs that we've seen, that's just Raven Ridge on 12 LP. There's nothing really fancy about them. I don't think we're going to see the multi-chip, chiplet-based, whatever APU design until later this year at the earliest, if not next year. Because it looks like APUs are lagging behind a generation, which really sucks.
Yeah, that's really weird.
So then you're basically saying, like, you could either get, like, a 16-core processor, or you could get an integrated GPU, but you can't have both.
You can't have both. No.
Okay.
Unless they put like a tiny little GPU on that IO, and that's just for display and nothing else.
Yeah, Axfer says, I hate that AMD is using 3000 naming for APU and CPU. Yeah, I agree. Like, I understand why they're doing it because it's the same product line, but it's really confusing as far as the hardware goes because they're so dramatically different.
And I think it cheapens the 3000 series tagline because 3000 series is supposed to be 7 nanometers, really good, awesome, revolutionary. And it's, well, then you have the APUs.
Yeah.
Except, the desktop APUs will be a lot better, presumably.
Were those customers paired, though?
There was a roundtable discussion with a certain Dr. Lisa Su about some of this. Some of the questions asked included, like, some of the answers given included, like, possibly GPU chiplets or semi-custom chiplets or
miscellaneous
bonus stuff like that that could be done with that design.
She said, you can expect us to put something in that spot.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the mask, like some of the photos that you see, if you look at it at an angle, there's very definitely like solder ball points or...
And traces.
Yeah. It's not just, yep, this is blank space. This is a proper ground plane.
Even if there wasn't, even if you couldn't see those or even if they didn't physically exist, obviously they were going to put something there. They didn't put that in the corner for fun.
Yeah.
But it's just funny that that leak, I don't even know if the spec sheet's real or not, but it's looking that way. If that it'll end up that way, maybe, regardless of that spec sheet was fabricated or not.
Yeah.
Just really core counts and prices aren't entirely sure. Obviously.
But it's like Ian had a good point though, right? In terms of like the memory channel. You're limited by the socket. So like there might not be a 16 core Zen just because the memory would be gimped, kind of.
Well, 2990 exists, and that's apparently gimped by memory. So
yeah, I mean, like proportionally, it's going to be the same as 64 core.
But Threadripper is a different socket, right?
Yeah, it is a different socket, but AMD's no stranger to memory bottlenecking, even on their GPUs as well.
Yeah, and it sucks though, right? Like, why wouldn't they
just... Yeah, but it's a trade-off. You're getting 16 cores for a very cheap price on a very cheap platform, and you have to accept some trade-offs for that. I don't think it'd be a bad deal.
Why wouldn't they just put it on the Threadripper platform?
Well, they're probably going to put 16 cores on the Threadripper, but I'm just saying if you want 16 cheap cores on a cheap platform, you get under like $1,000, hey, that's good.
Do you think they have two 16-core offerings? I mean, that's kind of like splitting their market, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did two.
Well, they did. They had two 8-cores. They had the 1900X and the 1800X.
Yeah.
But they were very definitely different platforms. If you go back to Intel, they've had 6-core or 8-core on, or not 8-core, 4-core on two platforms simultaneously as well. Like,
you got the 9900K and the 9900X, or I'm sorry, the 9820X, I think, is the 8-core now. Something like that. Anyways.
Yeah. Whatever it is. I'm trying to think. If you go back, like the 3820 versus the 2600K or the 4820K versus the 3770K, same architecture, just one of them has a crap ton more IO. Regarding 16 cores on AM4, though. Number one, from the looks of it, L3 cache is probably going to be doubled per core. But additionally, 64 core 8 channel, which we know ROM is using because it's compatible on socket SP3 with existing EPYC chips. 64 core 8 channel ROM is proportionally the same as 16 core dual channel AM4, should that exist. And it's also the same as 32 core 4 channel Threadripper, which currently exists. Like, I would argue that AMD is getting on the high end of cores per memory channel, if that's a good metric to use. But
it's cheap.
They've done it. So it's nothing new, I wouldn't say.
And I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, imagine if they put two chiplets on there and on every single one, they took out two cores per, so that they could get down to 12 cores. I don't think that makes much sense.
Yeah, sure it does. Salvage dies. And you've still got...
No, but I don't think...
And you can sell the 16-core next gen.
Yeah, I know. They could use it for like the bad dies. But the thing is that eventually the yields will get that good on a 7-nanometer die that you're not going to need to do that.
Yeah, big deal. Laser them off anyway. Who cares?
I just think they would be missing out some opportunity to sell more 16-core CPUs.
Or and they sold a bunch of 12-core. They wouldn't have sold otherwise.
Well, here's the deal. When you buy a computer, you're not buying a product. You're buying specifications. Like, you're not buying a piece of computer glass. You're buying the idea of cores and gigahertz more so than anything. So if AMD is lasering off cores, who cares what their yields are? You're still purchasing 12 cores and X gigahertz.
It's a missed opportunity to increase prices and get like a better deal.
No, I mean, you're totally wrong on this. Like, they've got to capture every part of the market they can. And like, think about it. You want to have like the best possible clock, right? You want to have high clocks for these parts. So if you find one or two cores can't clock as high as the rest, laser those off.
And no, I'm not saying they're not going to do that. 12 core. They'll do that for some parts. I just think like there's a difference between getting market share and making money.
But like, that's how they make money, though. Like, you're subsidizing all the higher cores, right? Like if it was just 8 and 16, they'd lose a shit ton of money.
Well, AMD needs to start making more premium products, I think.
That's what Threadripper is.
Yeah, but then they can also put that on AM4.
Yeah, well,
you could have.
Why?
Yeah, to make more money.
How?
I think they
make more money with Threadripper.
Okay, so here's the thing. They can put like the kind of chiplets that have 8 working cores on AM4, and then below that they can put chiplets that aren't that quite as good as like their 12 cores, and then their 8 cores as well. But I just don't see any reason why they wouldn't do 16 cores.
Easy. I mean, they might do 16 on AM4. That's fine.
Like, they wouldn't do 12 cores because Ryzen 4000 is now 16 core. Great. They've just left an ace in the hole for the next generation of chips. And I don't think we're getting a process shrink either. I'm pretty sure that's confirmed 7-nanometers, so like Zen 2 plus or Zen 3 or whatever it ends up being.
It's 7-nanometers plus.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a real shrink. I understand
so
that.
So they're not going to be increasing any density, which means they're still going to be using 8-core chiplets, assuming they stick with this design, which means, yeah, they're just going to save 16-core. Hey, what if Intel releases Sunny Cove, like a 10-core Sunny Cove on LGA 1150, whatever? Well, shoot, AMD can just say, we don't have 2 more cores anymore, we got 6 more cores. Because 4 more cores than the 9900K is still a lot more cores than the 9900K and not a bad value at all. Like, I can see AMD doing 16 cores because they're kind of nuts and that's just what they've been doing lately. But I don't think it's a guarantee because they can save that for later.
But I think it exists in like a different spot. Like, it kind of exists in this weird middle ground between Threadripper and Ryzen. It doesn't exist like, it's not like, we have 4 more cores, but you also need like a good motherboard for it. And it's also going to consume a lot more power than most other CPUs. And it's going to be at kind of a higher price point. It's not like something that's like, they're moving from 8. It's not like they're moving from 8 cores to 12 cores at like the same $330 price tag. If they are going to do $330 for their 12 core,
oh, they're absolutely going for the higher like $400 to $500 range. Number one, they did that with first gen Ryzen.
Yeah.
Number two, Intel now has $400 to $500 CPUs on the same.
Yeah, platform. I agree. I agree that they are going to bring back the $500 price point. It's just a question whether it's going to be the 16 or the 12 core.
Assuming they exist.
Yeah, well, they're absolutely going to be more than 8 cores.
We don't know that. Like, Lisa Su has hinted at that, which heavily implies it.
Why wouldn't they do? I know we don't officially know, but if they don't do more than 8 cores, then what are they doing?
They're EPUs. Making good processors.
Yeah, but we'd rather have more cores than another graphics chip.
I wouldn't. 12 is my limit, and that's 6-12.
But then, but Intel was coming out with Comic Lake very soon, aren't they?
No.
Isn't Comic Lake this year? They're a 10-core mainstream chip.
The 10-core mainstream chip with no supporting evidence behind it?
I've heard about it. I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know if it has supporting evidence. I've just heard about it. If it doesn't have supporting evidence, then never mind.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, Axifer doesn't have a microphone to input his above sentiments, he says. He says, at that point, they price cut the 16 cores, make the 16 cores only $50 more than a 12 core, or leave the 12 cores to OEMs. Nah, AM dollar sign, I assume that's a capital four, is not their moneymaker. AM4 and gaming are not where AMD makes their money. They are strictly to not be left behind in all markets, keep their name everywhere. Followed by, is there a chance AMD could do 16 cores on Ryzen but cut SMT?
I think that's
possible, but that's not really likely, I don't think, because
that's like spending a dollar to save a penny, really.
Well, it's more like security reasons. SMT, you know, security conscious people.
Then why not cut SMT on everything?
You can disable that in BIOS. No, just as far as performance goes, like ballpark estimate, SMT is gonna give you like 20-30% extra multi-thread performance. So if you have 12-core, 24-thread versus 16-core, 16-thread, they're going to be pretty similar. You just have to have better dies to have the not hyper-threaded 16-core.
But what about the heat generated? It's like,
yeah, and that's fair because it's going to be lower thermal density because the cores aren't working as hard. So
I don't think SMT adds that much to power consumption.
Sorry.
I don't think it does.
It does.
It does.
Quite a lot.
Like the 30
it's doing a whole bunch of wasted calculations.
The cores are like not inherently more efficient or inherently faster. They're just doing more work every second.
So why do they do SMT on Epic then?
They do.
Yeah, but I mean, so it's less efficient. Why do they do that?
Because it's more clock lower. It does more calculations per second. It's more parallel. That's the kind of thing data centers want.
Yeah.
Well, I understand what data centers want, but you're saying that SMT adds a lot of power.
Yes, because it's doing more work.
Yeah, if a Epic with a bajillion cores in it is clocked at 2.1 gigahertz with SMT, and it's 2 bajillion with the SMT, it's worth it because parallel.
Okay, so why wouldn't they put it on the 16 core?
I'm just saying, like, they could do that in order to differentiate the AM from the Threadripper. Right? Like you could do 16 cores without SMT, just like Intel had a part without SMT, right?
The
i5. But AMD's been making like a big racket about unlocked parts, SMT. Don't you think that'd be a little bit of a step backwards?
Siri, Google, what is the Ryzen 3 line?
Yeah, I know, but that's like, those are like $50, $100 parts. They're not very expensive.
It could diversify the market a bit. Like, not everyone's going to use SMT.
Yeah, diversify the market.
Right?
I don't think everyone's going to benefit from SMT, but I just think that would, like that. That's working. That's, like, taking two steps back.
But, like, what if you could get a 16-core without SMT for the same cost as, like...
9,900K? No, yeah. 9,700K.
Yeah, exactly. Then I think it would make a lot of sense because you're going to get more benefit from having hyper-threading.
Well, AMD's then just selling a 16-core for less money. I don't know if that's worth it to them.
Yeah, but they might be able to, like, salvage more parts that way or steal more market share, right? Like, that would be something, like, I could see making sense.
Yeah, it wasn't able to validate with SMT for the higher clocks, but, you know, you can get the higher clocks without it.
Of course. Right. And as just said... some tasks gain next to nothing from SMT threads. Data center loads are normally programmed for parallel loads. Lots of software for consumer scales really poorly on SMT. And also you can clock cores slightly higher when SMT is disabled. Again, down to thermal density there because each core is using less power because there's more stalls, which is technically not an efficient use of resources. But on the other hand, single thread performance is better. So whatever. I don't know. Well, like, there's reasons to not have SMT.
Security is also one. I'm thinking about that demo they showed. The power consumption was pretty low.
We also have no idea what the clocks are or or really anything, or for that matter, what the Intel chip's power limit was.
What do you think? And I'm not just limiting this to like SMT, and I don't know if they've made improvements on SMT since it's debuted, but they could have made, I mean, they've likely made, other than 7-nanometer improvements to power efficiency. Like that was a pretty decent power efficiency disparity between the 900K, which was probably at 4.5 gigahertz, and the 8 core. Yeah.
Keep in mind, Ryzen has traditionally been good at Cinebench.
Yeah, that's true.
For that matter, if like we've got a 95 watt plus whatever the motherboard vendor decided was appropriate for the 9900K on the Intel side, and we've got, let's say, a 65 watt TDP target for AMD, I mean, depending on how... I don't really know how like short-term power limits work, honestly, but like it's possible that... God, no, wait, because OC instantaneous power drop. What am I thinking? Oh, shoot, I don't know. There's not nearly enough information to make a conclusion about it.
Like, if you... If you up the clock speeds on the Ryzen part, obviously the efficiency would drop, and it would look a lot more even if you dropped clocks on the 9900K. But I mean, for what kind of like performance they're targeting, that is a pretty big difference, because 4.5 to 4.6 on the 900K is not like super low.
Well, we don't know what the clocks were. We just had the power.
Well, we know what the score was.
Yeah, that's fair. We could extrapolate average clock.
Yeah, it is almost almost certainly around 4.5, 4.6. And yeah, power does fluctuate. So did they only show like one figure for power consumption and not like
the power consumption on screen when it was doing the bench.
So they showed it live.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not that you could yeah. figure out what the average was.
From the looks of it, it was instantaneous power draw from the wall. If I were guessing, I think
yeah, that's the whole system. That's fair. That's open. But yeah, I just think. I just don't think there's any point in disabling SMT. I think the cons are bigger than the pros. I just think that undermines AMD's platform. Because AMD has, like, they've been talking about unlock CPUs, more SMT, giving more to the consumer for a lower price.
Have they really been bragging about SMT? Like, it's just a thing with Zen, but I haven't really seen them talk about it in marketing. It just kind of...
Yeah, they don't talk about SMT that much, but I just think, like, when people think about AMD and they think about Ryzen, they think you get all the threads that you could possibly get, and it's not really segmented a whole lot other than, like, obviously cores and stuff, because that's fair game.
Well, why isn't SMT fair game? Like, I just don't understand why wouldn't you offer people the option of getting, like... a Zen processor, and you can get more than 8 cores, but you can't get SMT.
Because people don't like it when Intel does that much.
People the i5 sells amazingly well.
Yeah, because it has a really high single core. Like
it doesn't have SMT.
Yeah, I know, but AMD has to offer SMT because they're not Intel.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Like, do you think they could sell they couldn't sell the 2700X for like $500. No one would buy that.
But imagine if you were picking between an Intel 6-core part, no hyper-threading, or a AMD like 10-core part without hyper-threading. Like, I don't know. I said that backwards. You know what I'm talking about? 6/12 Intel part versus like a straight 10-core AMD part. Like, people would pick AMD.
I don't know about that. I think they pick Intel.
They could offer up something, like they could offer something different. Intel only offers like super low core parts with hyper-threading or without hyper-threading. AMD could do like the opposite.
AMD has a worse reputation. They have certain caveats. They have to offer more than Intel. They have to offer lower prices. They have to offer these features. They have to offer a lot of things Intel doesn't at a lower price point. So I just don't think if they removed SMT, that would go down pretty badly. And if they were ever going to remove SMT, I don't think they would like show you it and then they would just take it away suddenly.
I don't know. I guess
I mean, Intel literally just did that with the i7, so.
Yeah, but then they, like, added, like, an i9, so.
Well.
And are people really a big fan of that? I don't think they are.
I mean, 8-core, 8-thread versus 6-core, 12-thread? Multi-core performance is a wash.
It just didn't really change, that's the thing. I wouldn't say it's worse. I would just say it didn't really change. And if they offered more cores and then less threads, you'd be like, okay, well, what was the point?
So what else do we have to talk about? NVIDIA?
Super boring, but it made a lot of sense.
I've paid no attention to it whatsoever. I guess they
Had
the 2060.
Yeah, they launched the 2060. Yeah.
And a larger cache.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Cache
so,
is
Well, we none of us really care about the 2060, right? Is that pretty much understood?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's a really good product, and they need it.
Is it too little, too late, or
it's too little, too late?
Did they launch things in the wrong order? Because that's what I think.
Well, even if it launched first, who cares? It's just a 2070 Ti with like a $50 discount.
Ooh, you're eating into the marketing, aren't you? You're comparing it with the 1070 Ti. It's marketing.
I mean,
well, it's about that fast.
Number one, it's going to be a huge mess because of all of the memory configurations, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, is that really happening?
People are going to read hard.
Was that confirmed at CES?
No.
Yeah, I don't know if this memory configuration thing is going to happen.
I think it's going to be like special semi-custom versions is, I think, what's going to happen. Like, they're going to have, like, a bunch of them that they're going to sell to, like, PC, like, cafes or whatever in China.
Sure,
and
that makes sense.
Get some GIMP version that's really cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
They've already done that.
1065 gigabyte was, like, a China-exclusive part.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, no one's going to buy it over in the States, but, like, who cares, right? They just made some agreement to sell a couple million of them, and they're going to take all their cash and laugh.
Yep. But
yeah. 2060, not that great. You tried NVIDIA, or you didn't.
On the other hand, it does bring real-time ray tracing to a reasonably low price point. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but it's so slow at that point.
Who cares?
It's pretty... But
it's slow and it's high
for two games. I can't max out my new real-time ray tracing.
Hey, you paid $350 for a GPU. You should be able to max out a few things.
No.
Not really. No.
But that's never been the case.
They showed with their own NVIDIA numbers that with RTX on and DLSS and Battlefield, whatever the fuck, you still get 60 FPS.
Yeah. Yeah, but everything else is set to like medium.
Oh no, medium settings. Okay, no, hang on. I need to complain. So like, if you look at PC Master Race shit where it's like, why should you build a PC? Well, if you don't like the low frame rates that you're getting, you can just lower the settings for a higher frame rate.
Well, 60 isn't that high, though.
Followed up by people saying shit like, it can't do ultra settings.
Isn't that high, though. For medium settings, that's
stock standard. Great. If you want to have a higher than 60 FPS frame rate, then you need to spend more than a 60 FPS.
Or you just turn ray tracing off. GPUs. Just turn that off.
Yeah, but what if you want the eye candy? Because like,
but it's not like, you know, hardware in box. Like,
you gotta let this go. Like, everyone likes different things. Like, if I'm
I understand.
Dota,
you can
I want
like
144 hertz and 1440p.
Like,
but if I'm playing Skyrim, I don't care if I have more than 60 frames per second.
I understand. If you like ray tracing, that's totally fine. I'm just saying it's not that great.
But it's a good product. Like, they're going to sell a bunch of those.
Like, just wait a little bit. Let's wait and see like new games, better performance, more optimization.
Well, here's a really cool new thing that RTX will give you. They partnered with OBS to give CPU quality GPU encoding.
Wow, that's a big deal.
I'm not sure how well it will work, though. I saw it during the presentation. That was like the one thing. But it's like, it's not OBS Studio, it's like StreamWorks or something? Well,
it's just a fork of the same thing, so.
Now, I think that's actually a really big deal. Because GPU encoding is easy to access, but right now, it's not that good. It doesn't look as good as CPU. If they can get
Looked like shit, and then the GeForce, like, streaming Twitter responded with like 99% of Streamlabs users use NVENC instead of
Just because they use it doesn't mean it's better.
Yeah, that just means they're idiots.
And I was just like, okay, I didn't know if they had actually updated the NVIDIA encoder and not look like garbage since the last time I checked. Like, is there anything different?
I guess, on the 2080s? I use the NV encoder on my 1080 Ti in Adobe to export using a third-party plugin, and it gives me a whole lot of control over the quality. And I don't know, do any of my high-resolution YouTube videos look like shit?
For really good details, like for like meshes and stuff, it'll kind of artifact.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think that's YouTube. On my end, with the file that I upload, it looks fine.
When you upload it to YouTube, the difference between CPU and GPU probably won't be that big.
Yeah,
because YouTube will shred it anyways.
Yeah, but if you're looking at the original source, you could probably tell the difference in some parts. Like GPU encode is already decent, but if it can get as good as CPU, then I think Turing will have an actually really good selling point.
Yeah, that
would be good for content creators.
But it was really hard, though. I did that test before. I exported with CPU, exported with the GPU, and then I brought single exact frames back into Premiere. I differenced the frames. There was no difference.
Hmm. And was this recent?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Maybe they've done some work on it.
I just think people don't know how to use the software that they're given.
But if NVIDIA can work on these features that leverage the RT cores and the Tensor cores, like maybe either work more on RTX and DLSS and add more things like this really good GPU encoding, I think Turing can earn its price point. I just think right now it's not a good deal, but it could be. And maybe the 2060, maybe we'll be looking at the 2060 a little more positively.
Picture how many little kids playing Fortnite are like,
yeah.
But mom, just give me the 2060.
Mom, I want V-Bucks.
Exactly. See, you get it.
Mom, buy me V-Bucks.
How many hats could you get with $350 worth of V-Bucks?
I swear to God. Okay.
You okay there, Cynical?
No, I heard fast walking.
Hey.
What?
Are you yelling for me?
I'm not dying. The answer was yes, but I'm not dying.
Okay, because I was on the second floor.
Oh, cool. That was really loud.
Yeah, what do you need?
Nothing. It's fine. I love you.
I'm leaving.
Bye.
I'm not dead.
Yep. I'm not dead yet.
God, I'm glad I live in the dorm.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay.
I'm not cutting that. I'm leaving it in. Okay. Doing it live.
Mom, significant other. What are we going with here?
Yeah, so that's my mother.
Yeah. So, are we going to talk about the FreeSync incident?
Let's talk about Dr. Unicorn's mom.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about that.
How many frame rates can she run?
Does she know that you sniff Sharpies?
Not intentionally.
What are we going to talk about now?
What's the new topic?
FreeSync. I like this summary, especially the hypocritical remarks that FreeSync doesn't work while bashing AMD, but they're actually working on AMD.
It's just DisplayPort Adaptive Sync. It's just fine. There's nothing special about it.
I was thinking NVIDIA could go one of two ways with supporting it. They could either take the environment AMD has worked very hard to create and kind of like usurp it, and they're like, hey, nice work you did. Thanks. And then they basically use that to accelerate their products. Or they could just shit on it. It looks like they're
Adaptive Sync. Like, there's nothing special about it. It's AMD's fault for taking a standard DisplayPort feature and selling it as like a premium product.
Yeah.
Well, they're not really selling as a premium product. FreeSync doesn't really add that much like price on top of monitors without it.
But it's a premium in the sense that this is a fancy marketing selling point to buy our product for.
AMD spent money on the environment and the brand and not really the technology.
The technology.
Like, yeah, they want, they've adopted the standard and they want it to be in all the things because they support it and NVIDIA didn't.
Yeah. NVIDIA incidentally, this isn't NVIDIA being altruistic. I don't think, this is more Intel is supporting DisplayPort Adaptive Sync. Intel discrete graphics are going to support Intel or DisplayPort Adaptive Sync. Therefore, if NVIDIA doesn't support it, then they're going to be left out when, Intel stuff comes.
But I really think NVIDIA's killed two birds with one stone, because how many people are buying AMD GPUs just for FreeSync if they don't want to spend the money on G-Sync? And now that doesn't, AMD doesn't really have that selling point anymore. FreeSync.
Is that really a thing? Like, do people
I overpaid a lot for my Vega because I already have two FreeSync monitors. I don't want to pay more for G-Sync. I mean, like, I just didn't see the value of getting NVIDIA.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's how they get you, because you've got a FreeSync monitor now.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose that. Therefore, you don't want to buy NVIDIA, and you're kind of locked into the brand.
And now NVIDIA has taken that advantage away.
But they've still got the advantage with G-Sync, because that's not FreeSync compatible. Well, I'm not sure I want to buy AMD or Intel this time around.
So they ate their cake and have it too. It's pretty smart. I think this is a pretty smart thing they've done in terms of their corporate strategy.
Yeah. Also, then just shitting on FreeSync is hilarious.
So they can also, for the monitors, I think for the monitors they don't officially support, it'll be like, wow, this isn't really that good. I mean, it kind of works, but what if I upgraded to a G-Sync premium monitor and it would work the way that I really want it to? Like, I think that's the thing that NVIDIA is going to push. Like, they're going to give you a taste, but they're not going to give you the carrot.
But, they did say they tested 400 monitors and only 12 passed.
Well, to whose criteria? NVIDIA's criteria. NVIDIA doesn't really have an incentive to make Adaptive Sync look like this great thing.
Well, I mean, it's not, right? Like, there's a lot of monitors.
I don't think it's a great thing. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's like some like amazing technology. It's just that it's a standard. And NVIDIA wants people to buy the premium.
Well, the thing is, the default FreeSync standard is garbage, right? Like, it doesn't limit enough to where you're guaranteed. Like, the default standard is like just plus or minus 5 frames or something, right? Like, the moment you go below 55, it just like immediately starts stuttering.
But you also have a low frame rate compensation that fixes that.
And that's driver side.
The default one is pretty garbage, right? Like, versus G-Sync, where like G-Sync it has to go down.
Yeah, G-Sync's better. But
like,
I don't
think what he's saying, right? It's like the demos they showed were like tearing and stuff like that, related to the fact that like the cheap FreeSync monitors just can't overdrive that much either way.
Yeah, so but that's because they're cheap.
Much of a point.
G-Sync monitors are always like a lot more expensive.
Oh, sure.
I think that's just the trade-off you're doing with a standard that's more open. It could be used for a lot more things. Obviously, the cheaper ones won't work that well.
So the controversy thing, if it even is one, is just NVIDIA calling out bad monitors when AMD should have been doing that?
Yeah, I mean, like,
I didn't really get that.
AMD's in a tough position because they want to expand their brand and they want to expand FreeSync. But on the other hand, like, if you tighten up the standards, then these monitors, they don't get to have FreeSync, and they can work with Adaptive Sync, but I mean, it's just a trade-off they don't want to make.
All I know is I'm going to buy one now.
I mean, like, the FreeSync monitors I have are fine, and they weren't super expensive. They were about $350 and $250 total.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea, because, like, now you have, like, the G-Sync, you know, like, what FreeSync monitors aren't garbage.
I'm just worried that the support won't be very good, so that it'll push people to premium for the manual enabling Adaptive Sync monitors that they tested but did not pass.
I mean, is that really going to push people over to G-Sync?
Well, listen, I got my Spectre because my Envy wasn't that good. And it was a Raven Ridge Envy, to be fair, and the drivers sucked. But I was like, man, I want something that's like the Envy, but better, because I have the Envy and I want more.
There's so many links in the chain there, though.
I know, but if you have something and it's not that great, you want something that's entirely good, that solves all the main issues.
You want something that's all great.
Yeah, you want something that's all great.
So you buy NVIDIA and Intel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically it. That's it. If I had more money, I would
G-Sync Ultra.
Is that what they're calling regular G-Sync now?
No. This is because G-Sync and HDR is now branded G-Sync Ultra. And so the question is there any adaptive sync plus HDR monitors, and will NVIDIA support those? Or will they just say...
Yes, there is.
That's sneaky.
Yeah, I asked the NVIDIA people that on Twitter, and I got no response, but I also never get a response from NVIDIA, so...
Yeah, I don't think they like you.
AMD PC liked one of my tweets one time.
Oh my gosh. You're a snowflake.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. See you next time.